All right. It is just a moment past 4 o'clock, which means it is time for our classic pick of the week. Each week, volunteer Chris Carey is kind enough to volunteer his time to select and research a classic pick and then brings in his findings for a little discussion. This week, he comes with a classic from Rod Stewart. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so this week I decided to look at Rod Stewart's Never a Dull Moment. This was his fourth solo release. This actually came out 47 years ago yesterday, so I was actually reviewing.
You were very close.
Yeah, reviewing it on the actual day it came out. Roderick David Stewart, he was born in London in 1945. He started off singing in the 60s and 70s. He started off with the Jeff Beck Group, 67 through 69, where he sang some and played harmonica. And then he was with the Faces from 69 to 76. So it's kind of cool that probably the three best albums that he's known for, that I would think most critics and fans would say are probably his best, he actually released while he was also working on and releasing the best Faces albums too, which is pretty crazy. So he was pretty busy in the early 70s.
Yes, and I'm a huge fan of the Faces.
Yeah, the Faces
as well.
Faces are very cool.
Yeah.
Basically, he signed a solo recording contract in the late 60s and released his first album, An Old Raincoat Will Ever Let You Down, which is a interesting title. It makes me think he came up with some of the Faces titles too, because they're similar. So he released that in 69, a little fanfare. It didn't really chart, but did in his second album, Gasoline Alley, came out in 1970, and it didn't produce any hits, but it did chart in the US, UK, and Canada, and the critics really did love it, and that's actually a pretty good record. Gasoline Alley and his second album, Every Picture Tells a Story, are a little bit more folk rocky than this album. And this album, of course, Never a Dull Moment, which we're talking about right now, is very early 70s Rolling Stones. If you're into Rolling Stones and you had no idea that Rod Stewart actually did some really amazing stuff,
yes,
then you should really check out this record. I think this is the most Stones-esque record he did. I think it's I should go back to Every Picture Tells a Story, his second album, which came out in 71. That had the single Maggie May on it, which was a huge, huge, huge smash single. You could probably even just call it a standard now that gets covered by lots of people. It was number one on the Billboard charts on the charts in the UK, Canada, Australia, and it was Stewart's first platinum-selling record. Given that, he started recording this album in the wake of that success. And so when this album came out, there was a lot of attention. It didn't sell quite as well as Every Picture Tells a Story, but it did do very well. It charted in both the UK and the US, Canada and Australia, I believe, too, and even a few other places. It was recorded from March to May in 1972 at two very famous London studios, Morgan Studios and Olympic Studios. And Stewart himself receives production credit on this. This was the second album that he produced by himself. All the Faces albums were produced by other people, and his first couple albums were co-produced by him. And it was the thing that's really kind of notable here is it was really an all-star lineup. There were several people that played with the Faces that also played on this album, most notably Ronnie Wood, who he was playing with the Faces, and he was lead guitar there. He played lead on almost every track on this album. And then he went on to actually, when the Faces broke up in 75, he went on to join the Rolling Stones in 76.
Say, speaking of the Rolling Stones.
And then Some Girls was the first album that he recorded on. I believe that came out in 78. Ian McLaughlin also is on this. He played with the Small Faces, but not the Faces. And the Small Faces gave way to the Faces. But Ian McLaughlin is an amazing keyboard player. He was an amazing keyboard player. He died a few years
ago. Recently. Okay, yeah.
2014 or 15, okay. I think. But the keyboards the keyboards on this album are great, and he's a famous, you know, he's like a musician's musician as far as keyboardists go. And I was really cool. I actually got to meet Ian McLaughlin a few years ago. It was the early aughts, I think, is when I met him in Austin, where he was living at the time. And I also got to share an elevator once with Ron Wood. So I've met two of the guys on this record.
Yeah,
he kind of noticed me noticing him, but I didn't really bug him. But it was kind of cool. I was like, wow, I'm standing in the same elevator with a Rolling Stone and a Face. Anyway, Mickey Waller, who played drums, he also played for the Jeff Beck Group, and then bass was split between Pete Spears and Ronnie Lane. Ronnie Lane played with the Small Faces, and Pete Spears played with everybody. He played with Hot Tuna, Jefferson Airplane, Dr. John, John Lee Hooker, and a bunch of other people. He was also a big studio session guy. So, like, the band on this is amazing, and that's why, like, this is one of those albums that you can listen to over and over and start picking out different guitar parts or keyboard parts or, like, just the tone somebody gets on something, because it's everybody on this album were pretty top-notch. Like I said, commercially, it did really well. Critically, it also did really well. All the critical reviews at the time were great. And over time, this record has come to be considered one of Rod Stewart's best. He kind of had this trio, his second, third, and fourth solo records, which was Gasoline Alley, Never a Dull Moment, and Every Picture Tells a Story. Those three albums are kind of considered, you know, they're like the top trilogy of, I don't know, I'm trying to find some cool analogy, but I can't. Anyway, those three albums, if you don't listen to any other Rod Stewart, those are the three albums to listen to. Although Atlantic Crossing and A Night on the Town are also pretty decent, too. The cool thing, too, is, like I said, the whole time he was recording these albums and touring, and he was also recording and touring with the Faces, too, which, actually, you know, you can imagine caused some strain in with the band with the Faces. But they hung around, and they didn't break up until, actually, 1976. Writing goes, all but a few songs on this were written or co-written by Stewart, and his later records in the 80s and 90s, he just pretty much does covers. But he did do some covers on this album, and the ones the people he covered, I thought were really, really cool. He did a Sam Cooke cover, an Etta James cover, Bob Dylan cover, and a Jimi Hendrix cover. You know, it's kind of funny when we talk about Rod Stewart, and in some ways he's kind of become, you know, most people that see his more recent stuff, it's not as edgy and as cutting edge as it was
certainly
in the 70s.
Not that's a kind way of putting it,
but you know, you know, say what you want about the guy, I mean, he was huge in the music industry. He still is. He's one of the top selling artists of all times. He sold over 100 million records. You know, he's had 6 number one albums in a row in the UK. He's had 31 top 10 UK hits and 16 top 10 US hits. And his body of work is crazy. He's done 35 solo albums, 4 albums with the Faces, and 2 albums with the Jeff Beck Group. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, as himself and with the Faces. He was knighted in 2016, and there's several magazines, including like Rolling Stone and Q and Pitchfork, that like list him as one of the most influential singer-songwriters of the late 60s, early 70s.
Well,
so,
at the end of the day, the voice, too. I mean, so distinct. You are never going to mix Rod Stewart up with someone else.
And that's true. And I've talked about this with my wife and other people. It's what's funny to me is you'll hear a lot of artists that maybe have a great voice, but it's not distinct. And I've always felt like for an artist to become not just known, but like kind of a legend, you've got to have a voice that you just know in a millisecond who it is. And he definitely has that voice. It's that raspy voice he's always been known for. And he had that even when he was a kid. It's not like he's gotten worse over the years. But I mean, you know, anybody like that, like somebody like, whether it's Aretha Franklin or Bruce Springsteen or Tom Petty, you hear, you know, one phrase and you know exactly who it is, even if it's a song you've never heard.
Absolutely.
And you can definitely do that with Rod Stewart.
I'm talking with Chris Carey about our classic pick of the week, which is Rod Stewart's Never a Dull Moment. Came out right around this time back in 1972. Other things to add, Chris, before we get into your first selection?
And the only thing I was just going to point out is True Blue. This is a great, this is probably my favorite song on the album, on this album. And Ian McLaughlin's, I mean, his electric piano on this is great.
I'm beginning to think you're a closet keyboard player.
Nah, I only play tambourine and kazoo.
Thanks, Chris.